Welcome to the Scuff Podcast, where we talk about U.S. soccer.
Hello, it's WOSO Wednesday. We're 50 days from the start of the Women's World Cup, and by the next time we convene here, we'll be halfway through the NWSL regular season, so things are moving along. Tara, Vince, what's up?
Hey, not much. It was an interesting 2 weeks. We've got some news to talk about.
Yes.
Before we get into that, though, I wanted to do a little correction. Last episode, I was on a bit of a ramble about how there is a current undrafted rookie starting regularly for the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Kind of like as proof that there is enough talent for another league in this country, being as she's having so much success and she went undrafted. I said her name was Paige Monahan, but I meant Paige Mateer, a dummy mistake that I wanted to acknowledge.
Shame on you.
Because Paige Mateer is proving to be really, really impressive, scored just this past weekend. Not to say Paige Monahan isn't impressive. It's just one of those classic Paige oopsies that I wanted to acknowledge.
If we're juxtaposing the pages, Paige Monahan missed an open goal this week. Mm. Paige Mateer scored. So,
well,
I don't
apologies.
Know.
Apologies to the Paige community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, I believe we may have been unclear at a minimum about the stepping down of coaches in Portland after their title winning run in 2022. Head coach Rion Wilkinson stepped down in December at the player's request after, as she put it, quote, a player and I formed a friendship that turned into more complex emotions. I think we made it sound like she was the one kissing somebody's neck. The coach, and that's not true. The coach who was ousted for kissing a player's neck was an assistant coach, Sophie Clow.
Right.
So, good enough. Right.
Well,
necks were kissed, just not by the head coach,
not by Rion.
And if I could point out something that was possibly potentially right. In the last episode, I had brought up the fact that penalty kicks in the women's game are a little bit more trivial than in the men's game. And somebody on the illustrious Scuff Discord, which if you're not a member, you should be a member. You're missing out on all types of information and legal advice, information about soccer and, and anything that's going on. You laid out your child support, but whatever we got an Esquire for you, buddy. Yeah. But, so, this comes from Discord user Tim Sullivan, and he says, surely somebody already answered this, and I just missed it, but Scuff Podcast, potential PK misogyny controversy answer, all-time NWSL penalty conversion is 71.1%, 214 out of 301, so a fair amount lower than the conversion rate in men's top flight league, which is around 78%.
Yeah, so, it's like almost 1 in 10, a 1 in 10 difference.
I guess I'll give the one caveat that like 301 total pins, it isn't that large of a sample size, really, when we're talking about whatever number what was used to get the 78% from the men's top flight leagues. We got years and years and years and years and years. Yeah. I mean, 100,000 pins at that point. So, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on it. But it was something that, just from watching women's soccer, that I just noticed.
Misogyny charges withdrawn.
Thank you. I'm just happy that the numbers proved that I wasn't tripping. That I wasn't tripping. It was just a little hypothesis that I formed in my head. And the thing that scared me the most is when I threw it out there and both Bells and Tara were just like, I have no clue what the hell you're talking.
I was just anxious to ding you for sexism on no evidence. That's what I wanted to do.
Fair enough.
But I am happy that you noted something accurate that came out. So I think that's a huge success.
Yeah.
Accuracy. Yay for
accuracy. Way to
accuracy.
Go. Way to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, we're trying on a serious note, we're trying to get things right and for acknowledge sure. when we don't. And so if you hear something that you think is incorrect, please contact us on Twitter or on the Discord or
absolutely.
Wherever. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the news. As we all suspected, Katerina Macario is out for the World Cup. She made the announcement on Instagram a week ago.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Rough, not unexpected. Try not to let it bear us down too much.
Yeah.
It's extremely rough. And like I've said on previous episodes, because like I didn't even let myself believe that this World Cup was even going to be anywhere close to a, you know, like trivial as far as Kat's availability in it. And so, yeah, the fact that she's out and the fact that, you know, it seems that Vlatko, like she was the franchise. We talk about our general hesitation as a program to switch everybody out to get a fresh appraisal of the talent in our, you know, women's soccer pool. We've put some fresh blood in there in the lineup, right? And on our substitutes bench. But Kat was really the one, it seemed. The first one before, you know, we had Sophia Smith step up and then Mal Pugh also, and you know, we're gonna miss her as well. I mean Mal Swanson. Excuse me. But it just stinks. And it also stinks because it's gonna give Vlatko like an out when you know he writes his memoirs after this cycle. He's gonna be like, you know what, I didn't have Kat.
When he heads back to Kansas City Current, because they're in need for a head coach, man. They really are.
Yeah.
Let's talk about two things that are sort of knock-on effects of the Macario officially being out. And one is, you know, who's likely to be in that spot in the nine for the women? It's gonna be Alex Morgan, right?
Yes.
And then. Yeah, great discussion point, Bells. And then Hatch off the bench. It'd be cool if we could see Sophia Smith there, maybe, but that just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And then, you know, I suppose Lynn Williams may also deputize. But further down the list of knock-on effects would be, you know, does this open a roster spot? And if so, Tara, for whom?
Well, I think that it does open a roster spot. I think this decision, Kat being out, is new. Like, I think Vlatko has been holding out, and I think that that's why there has been so much like ambiguity in Kat's statements, be it when she was saying what Vlatko just has to trust me, or Vlatko saying we need to see her on the professional field, and it just never really worked out. So I do believe that it opens a roster spot for someone we haven't seen thus far. And to me, that is a true opportunity to bring someone new in who has been lighting the NWSL on fire filled with rage. Savannah DeMello, I think, has an opportunity to shake some things up here.
Preach.
And I just really believe that with the way our rosters the past few camps have been crafted, I guess, for lack of a better term, we haven't ever had, you know, a lot of players on a roster. We went a little high this past one against Ireland, but it was defense heavy. It was clear that we were just trying out different defensive options. I do think it opens a spot, and to me, there's no one better than Savannah that could take it, if that wasn't clear.
Does she slot in cleanly into that sort of advanced midfielder role?
Yes.
I think we play our midfield a couple different ways, and like before it like turns into any like competition between two players, I think we've been trying Taylor Korniak at different positions, and it hasn't really worked. We've been trying Christy Mewis at a couple different positions, like, be it they're both midfielders, but they've been playing different roles. I think that Savannah could slot easily in.
Okay. Any objections, yeah. Vince?
No objections. I mean, y'all know me as the pod's racing Louisville. What do they call those things that they send off?
Correspondent.
Yeah, correspondent. Sure, but
ambassador maybe.
Yeah, it was ambassador. That's what it was. I was I was picturing Connor Roy in my head.
Oh.
But I couldn't get the word out. But Sav, I mean, she was great last year. She's even stepped it up this year. A little bit more just with pure class, tenacity, audacity. Like Bells, you posted that you posted the vid of the outside of the boot shot from the top of the box. I mean, come on, nasty. Dog. I mean, this is a I mean, seriously, man. I mean, even past like nobody can ding me for bias or anything. She does just incredible stuff on the soccer pitch, and along with it, you know, with the, you know, I've talked about the her versus Ashley Sanchez thing, but for me, the deciding factor is like she gets stuck in too. She's all over the pitch. She's trying to win balls back. She's extremely stout defensively. I mean, like even like basically like to her detriment. To her detriment, she picks up yellow cards above the rate that you would expect from like a attacker. You know what I'm saying?
That's the point. That's what really won me over in terms of the national team opening. It's, I think we lost a lot of edge with Mao, like a lot of fight. And we didn't have somebody to take that on, like to play with a coldness. And Savannah definitely does. She's a force out there. Like she does not care about anyone or anything.
Yeah. She's not playing around. Very serious individual. So yeah, I mean,
great.
I would love to see it. I would love to see it. And I don't know. I'm not too concerned about any type of integration within the national team itself at this point. I mean, yeah. At this point, I mean, you know, we have Vlatko still chomping and changing to this day. So it just is what it is. And we saw it with Tim Ream with the men's national team, even though he had many more minutes over the course of the cycle. But he had just fallen out in big chunks within the middle. But integration's overrated. That's all.
I also don't think like it's too much of a grasp. Like I think it's actually pretty realistic because we haven't been trying new players out. Like that's what I know. I've been beating, you know, there's got to be another saying than other than beating a dead horse, because that's pretty gross, but
pounding the table.
Yeah. There's been a lack of desire to let anyone try out for this team, and that's always been a headache of mine. But in terms of midfielders, the only other ones who aren't regularly called in is Sam Coffey, and I don't think her role is opened up there.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, I'm not pleased about it, but I don't see a defensive midfielder being a need at this point. You know, we'll talk about who hasn't been playing so much, but other than Coffey, it's Jalen Howe and Savannah DeMello. Like they have been the only other ones to even get a peek.
Yeah. I mean, they are the ones making noise in the NWSL with their play.
And Vladka's been in at two racing games. Mm-hmm. So previous to the Cat news, I was 100% convinced he was just watching Chicago, because we're going to need some extra defenders. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of injury headaches. So I was sure it was just Tierna and Casey and Alyssa being watched. But now, like, that changes everything for me. Maybe he was watching some others.
Hopefully. Let's talk about so who are the leading goal scorers in NWSL right now?
Yeah, I think I mean, I know who the leading goal scorers are, but I think that it's a safe place for many in terms of the national team and in terms of the World Cup coming up to kind of live in the doom and gloom. The Cat news, the Rose news, there's Julie Ertz questions up in the air. And we've been in sort of a transitional space. We don't have the clearest identity in terms of the national team. And like I've said, we've had bad luck with injuries, but so have a lot of other countries. And we're going to be going into this tournament with the four leading goal scorers in the NWSL, which I think is very exciting and worth celebrating. So as it stands right now, we have a tie for the Golden Boot race. It is between Crystal Dunn, Alex Morgan, Ashley Hatch, and Lynn Williams, all of which have 5 goals. So, you know, I think it's easy to be pessimistic, but there's a lot of good still happening.
Yeah, and Dunn, a locked-in starter for this team at fullback, probably, and very probably. And then Morgan, Hatch, and Williams are the three of the most likely options, probably the three most likely options to replace Macario on the field. Any minutes Macario would have gotten in an alternate reality. One person who's not on that list of goal scorers is Sophia Smith. It's only because she's behind them by 4 goals and 5 assists this season. Are there whispers that she's in a slump or something? Or
yeah, I think going into the season, it was expected that it was just going to be the Sophia show, and so to have anyone else, especially 4 others, be ahead of her, and that they're all national team players as well, I think it's opened up some questions like, oh, what is going on here? But before we get into kind of what's been going on with her this season, I think it is important to note that before this current season started, she did talk about the need to grow and she wanted to get more assists. That's something she's noted publicly in many interviews. And I think that that's happening. She's adapting her game, and it's been a joke, not just on here, not just in the Discord, but just in women's soccer community. Like, Sophia doesn't share the ball. It's her ball. She's going for it. And she's getting a lot better at sharing it. She's got 5 assists already.
Yeah, she only had 1 in 2021 and only 3 in the whole season in 2022. So she's way above the pace. And I think we should talk quickly about the underlying numbers, because they are pretty consistent over the last 3 seasons, even if she isn't scoring goals at a torrid pace right now. She's at 0.75 non-penalty XG plus XA through this nearly halfway point of the season. That's 1 basis point, so 1/100th of a goal below her 2022 level, which was 0.76, and it's 1 basis point above her 2021 level. So, you know, the XG is down a little bit this season from last season, but the XA is up. Reference her quotes from the beginning of the season that she wanted to become more of a provider. So I think she's fine. And there's also this, I have a screenshot of her, you know, after tracking the ball down in the corner, she's got 2 defenders clearly double teaming her and all the way over in the corner. And this is, I think, a big thing, and probably why it's good that she's becoming more of a provider, because she draws so much attention. She, in this case, this is in the 25th minute of the 1-1 draw with San Diego over the weekend. She gets the ball in the corner and then she just plays a fairly simple pass back across for Coffee. Coffee's in like a 20-yard radius circle of space. And Coffee clips the ball to the back post, and there's a miss. Huge chance created, mostly because Sophia Smith draws so much attention. So all that to say, I think she's fine.
And I think that that's a great point to make, and something I think we could easily see happening in the World Cup. I think people are going to be really familiar with Sophia Smith and how dynamic and how forceful she is. Where she's going to have lots of attackers on her at all points, but that just opens up space to introduce Trinity Rodman to the world. I think it's only good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you watch the Thorns, Sophia is very dominant. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not even like she pops off the screen. It's not even a thing. These goals, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, she's fine. Yeah. Everything's okay. Fine.
So a couple more bits of bad news Roosevelt re-injured?
Yeah, so last time we spoke, I brought up a quote from Laura Harvey that basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, she's back training with the team. Period. Hooray. Roses. We're going to see Rose soon. This past week, Laura Harvey had another question on Rose's status, and she said this. She said, honestly, it changes all the time. Because she was really on track to be back, then she had a little bit of a setback. I would love her to be on the field tomorrow. I don't think that's going to happen. I hope that we get to see her before the World Cup, but honestly, right now, I don't know.
Goodness.
So the alarms went off all across women's soccer. The world is ending. Rose is out. I didn't take that from this quote, but it is important to note something's happening in training where she's getting setbacks.
Are there any worse words in professional soccer than a little bit of a setback?
It's real ominous. It's
real ominous. It stinks. Stinks. I mean, because I feel like you only have a setback on an injury that's, you know, pretty, I don't want to say pretty significant, but it's significant enough to where the healing is a, yeah. Right. Injury is not too straightforward. Something where you have to get out there and kind of test it. Mm-hmm. But before you can determine your process and progress and everything like that. So it's just bad news all the way. And even more reason for one Savannah DeMelo to, mm-hmm. to make her way into this national.
Yeah. Cause it's going to, if Rose really is out, which is, I guess, the worst case scenario for the World Cup, I'm not saying she is.
Yeah.
Then it's DeMelo. It's DeMelo, Sanchez, and Horan. Well, we're speculating that DeMelo could be there, but Sanchez and Horan right now.
Yeah.
Christy, Taylor, Sonnet's been getting midfield minutes. It gets dark.
All right. Well, one more bit of bad news. Can you give it to us, Tara?
Yeah. So Julie Ertz has only played 3 games for Angel City. She's been listed as questionable for the team since the last time we spoke, due to what they are listing as a left thigh injury. She's been on the bench, but she has not been warming up. So it's like totally up in the air. No one really knows what's going on with her. She's not hurt enough to not be there. She's not warming up. Her coach has spoken about it in vague terms, nothing concrete, at least in my point of view. And then I just get a little bit paranoid, and I'm thinking she's just kind of enjoying herself until the World Cup comes, because I've been skeptical, much to the disdain of many people in the Discord, about her club intentions to begin with. So I'm curious what's going to happen. Angel City really needs her. So I'm sure that there is some sort of pressure for her to come back. Whatever this left thigh injury is, I hope it gets solved soon. But it has been nice to see her on the bench. She's kind of taking over this new player coach persona. You see her like pointing things out a lot and like talking to the girls on the bench, or if there's a water break, she's you know, guiding some players, which is fun to see.
She's a guide.
We talked about that run in that Julie had, as far as like the amount of NWSL games that she could potentially play in, you know, to get her minutes up, to get that feel back, you know what I'm saying? But every week that passes, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it makes it smaller, obviously. So I don't know.
There's still plenty of time to get our minutes up. We just got to figure out what this injury is.
Hold on. So what Bell said, 50 days,
man. So we talking about Angel City has 7 games before that friendly against Wales on July 9th.
7 games. And then, yeah, we'll see in it. We'll
2
see.
Or 3 would be good. 4 or 5 would be better.
Yeah, I was about to say, I need a solid 4. Give me 4, man.
That's a good line to draw, though, because I wasn't sure how much I needed. 4, I will buy into the 4 games I needed.
Speaking of elder states women on the national team, Megan Rapinoe's kind of back, huh?
Hey, I'm the first person to harp when she has a bad game. She did not have a bad game this past weekend. OL Rain won 4-1 this past weekend against Angel City. And Megan got 3 assists. It was, what to me, a very good, very good Megan performance. And I'm hopeful that she's bringing this quality to New Zealand, because we all know she's making the roster.
Yeah. I don't want to get too carried away about this performance, though. 2 good crosses.
Man, I'm happy you said it, Bills.
2 good crosses, 1 from the right, 1 from the left. A fairly simple pass into zone 14 for the other assist. I thought she was pretty wasteful on the chances she got. You know, you can't finish everyone, but she had 5 decent chances.
Guys,
in the box.
This game compared to the last game, or specifically when they played North Carolina, this is a world of a difference.
Okay,
I know, but still though, like those assists, right? So the crosses, it's like she's picking up this ball and just
whacking it.
I mean, yeah, and it's just acres of space. She's chilling, picking her head up, seeing what's going on. Hitting, I mean, and yes, this is what. I mean, Megan's going to be able to do this until the Reaper comes. You know what I'm saying? Just being able to serve a ball up, you know, when she comes out 30 years down the line and plays like the first cross for a women's national team game, you know, it's still going to be a dime. It just is what it is, but I don't know. Does it translate? Yeah.
I guess that'd be my question. Even though it is good for her to be playing better than she was before, like, is this going to work at the World Cup? I guess it might work against Vietnam, but.
That's the question. We don't know.
Chicago won their first game in a long time.
Yeah, it feels like a light has shined on the Windy City. Alyssa Nair had a pretty good performance, which, again, compared to where she was, it feels like, you know, a new day is born. Alyssa Nair is back. Casey Krueger also had a very good performance. And I've been on the Casey to New Zealand train for a little bit now. I think it's good news for everyone. Alyssa's playing well. Casey's playing well. I'm happy for Chicago because it was doom and gloom there for a bit.
Yeah, they suffered the cosmic injustice of Mallory Swanson's injury.
Yeah.
All right. What else? How's Alyssa Thompson doing?
I mean, her team is embarrassing. But I think Alyssa Thompson is doing pretty well, all things considered. Chris Henderson on Twitter, he does a lot of draft news and women's soccer news. He's a great follow for anyone interested. But he posted a 1v1 and dribbling success stat for the NWSL this past week, and Alyssa was second. So it was important at least for me to highlight, because I think Angel City is in a very bad place, and I don't want them to drag Alyssa down with them.
Because they have dragged down her XG plus XA stats a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can't carry a team by yourself.
Right. Where is she? Let me just look this up real quick. She's non-penalty XG in the 33rd percentile. So, you know, on FBref, these would be red bars. 33rd percentile, non-penalty XG plus XAG, you know, so goals and assists, non-penalty XG. She's at in the 11th percentile. So it's kind of rough. The 1v1 and dribbling success stats do soften the blow of those, I think, a little bit.
I hope so. But keeping with Angel City for a moment, Sydney LaRue is traveling with the team again. I find it hard to imagine that Vlatko does anything really surprising or interesting with the upcoming roster. But Sydney is a former national team star, and I wanted to highlight it that she's almost back. It's going to make the NWSL better. It's going to make Angel City better, which in turn hopefully will make Alyssa Thompson even better. And she hasn't played soccer in nearly a year, so I think it's exciting, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Anything that helps Alyssa helps me. That's how I look at it.
Love that. And the only other note I had in terms of the World Cup coming up, I guess, is England's World Cup roster came out today, which means ours must be soon, right? Have you guys seen any news on when ours is expected? I haven't.
I have not either. No announcement about when it'll be released or anything.
But I'm assuming if England's is released, I saw it before we hopped on here today. I'm thinking ours must be soon, though, so that's exciting.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like England can do it because, like, their season's over.
Ooh, yeah, good point. Good point.
Yeah, so we got... it would be a shame to name people to the World Cup roster and you know, have them all get hurt or whatever.
There's got to be a mechanism for replacing folks, right? This far out?
I mean, yes. But naming a roster, I don't know. It would just, I feel like for me, it would raise the general anxiety.
Yeah.
Like just amongst everyone at that point. It's just.
Yeah. Maybe that's probably true. It's most likely going to come right before that Wales game, the send-off game.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, I just got my hopes up a little bit seeing World Cup rosters be released, knowing it's so soon. I'm really excited.
Yeah. I mean, it's really coming up.
It is.
But speaking of European seasons coming to an end, the one in France just did this past weekend, and Corbin Albert got her third start. PSG won 3-0. I know this is like my little axe to grind. I talk about her every other week, I guess. But really curious to see where she stands in the pecking order for PSG in the fall, and where she might stand in the pecking order for the new coach, you know, hopefully new coach of the women's national team. She's been quite good in her appearances. She plays almost every game. Like I said, started three, strong in duels, very good at finding the ball, tidy in possession. Big fan of Corbin. Horan didn't play for Lyon, but is she's extending her time in France?
Yeah, her loan was up, but she's not coming home. She's going to stay with Lyon, I think, another year, but for sure she's staying in France.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about potential eights, you know what I'm saying, that can replace Kat and replace potentially Rose, and yeah, we left Corbin out, man. As a big Corbin fan myself, you know what I'm saying? I apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize to the iconic brands that are Paris Saint-Germain and Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's see. Got a couple other things, but mainly the U20 women's. Go ahead.
Can I just butt in real quick?
Yes, please.
I've been doing some... I pulled up American Soccer Analysis and their interactive tables just to check out some XG stuff real quick. I just want to say Sophia Smith is second in the league in non-penalty XG plus XA. So.
Who's first?
CC Kaiser.
Oh, CC. Watch out.
CC Kaiser. It's actually a pretty funny list. So CC Kaiser, Sophia Smith, Morgan Weaver, Louisville's Kirsten Davis, and then Lynn Williams, fifth.
I'll take it. Good for us.
Okay. The U20 women are trying to qualify for the next U20 Women's World Cup at the CONCACAF Championship. What are we seeing there, Tara?
Yeah, one more win and we do qualify for the U20 Women's World Cup. So that's huge, exciting.
That is the semifinal of this tournament against Costa Rica on Friday.
Which is this Friday, 6 p.m. But the group stage has been a blast. The first game got canceled due to weather in the Dominican Republic. It was storming. So when the game got rescheduled, we won 6-0 against Panama. The second game, we played Jamaica. We won 4-0. It's just a young group that's hopeful and playing fun soccer there. They're scoring a bunch of goals. What's not to love? The third game, which was, you know, not to be a bummer, but our first real game, our first real test, was against Canada, and we won 5-2. One of Canada's goals came from a penalty kick, and the other was a late goal. We shouldn't have really given up. We were just kind of checked out or tired, or the heat got to them at the end. But we still won 5-2, a load of great goals. And I've been having a good time watching.
I know we've talked about some of these players before, but can you give me the two or three players you're most excited about on this team? And yeah. Vince, feel free to answer too.
I definitely want you to elaborate when I get to the Gamero, but Allie Sittner has been really, really good. She got hurt last year, so she didn't play much for UNC, but she's playing good now. She scored twice last night against Canada. She was fast. She was creative. I thought she was a joy to watch. Giselle Thompson, Alyssa's little sister, she also scored against Canada last night. She took their penalty kick, which I thought was... Yeah, which I thought was like super silly, but it was a good PK and she got a goal. She played well. She's committed to Stanford, but we see how well that went for Alyssa. Who knows what's going to happen there? And then Gamero, I think, is a force. She's committed to Stanford as well, and she scored last night against Canada also.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been extremely excited about Onyeka Gamero since I first saw her for the U17 World Cup, which was I don't know when it was. It was sometime last year. Time all runs together now. But yeah, ever since I first saw her, even more so than like Giselle, who was also on that team, like Gamero was just the one for me. And yesterday in this match, she was just unplayable. She gets that ball on the wing 1v1. You're not stopping her from getting to where she wants to go. He had a couple like snatch shots that ended up like looking like crosses, but you could tell that she was definitely trying to shoot the ball a few times. The goal kind of came off a deflection, so there's a little work to be done, on the final ball, but this is just another one. And the long line of attackers, man. They just keep funneling in. And I would probably bet that, you know, he's going to forego college and go ahead and join the NWSL. But we'll see. And the interesting thing about Sittner is I'm pretty sure she came back from injury and her first games were that U20 World Cup.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and so she seems to be like just extremely highly rated, which she was playing up a cycle, it seems, right? In that last U20 World Cup. She's a member of this U20 team. And so and I guess I would say like yesterday was the first time that I really like I was like, oh, okay. Like I'm seeing what's going on here. Like that first goal she scored was just absolutely it was a ridiculous finish.
Yeah,
it really was.
It was so smooth. Left footed from a tight angle, almost kind of a chip.
Yeah, like across her body.
Yeah.
To the far corner of the goal, like the right side of
She tried it a few more times in the game too. She's really, really fun to watch. But to your point about Gamero, I was going to say, but I it's just a guess. I'm thinking she gets one season in Stanford before she comes over. She's got that much potential, but like Vince said, just a little cleanup, spend some time at Stanford, and then come home. Come to the NWSL.
I'm with it.
Another UNC player on the team is Maddie Dalian or Dalian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She seems like she's causing a little trouble as well. Some good trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a good player as well. Good player as well. Played left wing yesterday. She's extremely fast. She's extremely fast. I think Kim McCauley tweeted that in the state of Minnesota, I believe she won like the 100, 200, and 400 meter dash, like state championship, while she was in high school. So just, you know, an elite athlete.
Yeah.
Probably another one coming, you know, as far as the winger pool.
it's ridiculous. It's all the more reason, like, I'm so glad the professionals weren't released for this tournament. Like, we wouldn't have been able to see all of this depth that we have. So it's been really fun, and I'm looking forward to the next game on Friday.
Oh, and also I would also like to point out, I think her name is Allie Lemos, the sick from yesterday. I thought she was quite clean as well. As a good player. So
is Jordan Dudley not grabbing anybody's attention? I thought I saw some stuff she was doing in that first game. Apparently not. I thought she was doing some stuff in that first game that was good. And
It's got to be a question for Terry. I'm not gonna lie. I definitely checked out of these first two matches because I was just like,
you got other things going on.
Canada was locked in.
I watched both games and I got to tell you, don't remember a single thing about the first one. So okay. Sorry.
Fair enough. All right, last thing is Challenge Cup continues today. Chicago versus Racing at 8 p.m. Eastern, San Diego versus OL Reign at 10 p.m. Eastern, Portland versus Angel City at 10:30 p.m. It's kind of, would anyone have predicted that at this point Gotham would be in first place in the NWSL?
God, no. But it's really fun to watch.
It seems like they made a good little trade there, Tara, huh?
Yeah, they got Yasmin Ryan and Lynn Williams, and it's paying off beautifully. That's not to say Michelle Cooper wasn't worth it, which you're implying.
So I'm just messing with you. I'm a big fan of Michelle Cooper, but
I mean, Lynn and Ryan are doing phenomenal at Gotham. Both landed exactly where they're meant to be. Clearly, it's working out beautifully.
Cooper, have we had a chance to discuss that Cooper goal yet? Or did we talk about it last time?
Ooh, we're talking about the one against Racing?
Yeah, it was her first goal in the Challenge Cup. In the Challenge Cup, Cooper had a great goal. But Racing and Kansas City played each other twice, so those two games blend together for me. It was Challenge Cup, first one,
league,
second one. I mean, okay. Vince, that's not something to be that proud of. Kansas City is really bad right now.
A win's a win's a win, ain't it? Beat them home and away.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, the goal that Michelle Cooper scored it was kind of similar to the Sentinel goal that we just described. Just very nice, very nasty. It's the type of thing that I expect from Michelle Cooper. And more as she gets comfy, you know what I'm saying? She is playing in an attack that should function pretty well. You know, Dabinia, we just mentioned CeCe Kaiser. Number one in XG plus XA in the league, and just an extremely underrated attacker. I mean, from her time at, I was heartbroken when we let her go, when we traded her to KC in the first. So, that should be a good attack, man. You got Spanstra, Michelle, like everybody surrounding Michelle are good players. So, hopefully, we get to see some more.
If they don't fill their coaching position before early August. I think we know somebody who could come down. take it on.
Right on down. He would be happy too, man. That man ain't left Kansas City.
No, but to Belz's original point, Gotham is doing really, really well, and Washington Spirit are doing really well. Two of the worst teams last season, which just goes to show how fun the NWSL is. Every single game is competitive. You know, you can rewrite your story the next season with ease.
Yeah. Okay. I think that covers it.
Well, do we need to put some respect on Christy Mewis' name? I guess is my point.
No, we don't.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm just saying, Gotham top of the table. You know, but
Christy pulling the strings there.
If you want to give respect to Christy Mewis' name, she's playing well in Gotham, but I think it's the same scenario actually. If you accredit Christie's success right now with Gotham, you're also saying Ashley Hatch should probably start in the World Cup because she's doing very, very well.
Mm. Okay. Downplaying Kelly O'Hara too. I see. Where...
She's not even playing, man. She can't make her play. You're gonna get me in trouble though. So I think it is time to.
All right. Well, thanks guys. Thanks everybody for listening.
We about to. This is the end of the episode?
Yes, sir.
Oh wow! Now hold on. I need to talk about this then. I made it out to Lynn Family Stadium on Saturday. I had to take the baby with me.
How did Indy enjoy it?
Indy had a good time. She was actually very good. She was very good. I was very nervous about taking her to this match by myself. So I was gonna take both kids.
What was your carrying apparatus for her?
My arm.
Yeah, my
arm, man. There's a nice little nook that she likes to get in. She really just settles herself in like the fold of my arm. And like, this is something we developed because she had acid reflux and I had to like keep her up after she ate sometimes. And so like ever since then, she just sits in there and chills and just looks around at the world. So yeah, brought my 5-month-old baby to her first NWSL match. I was going to bring both kids, but my wife talked me out of it. So I took Eden to her cousin's house. She had fun over there, but anyway, got to watch Racing versus North Carolina Courage, which was a good match. It was a very entertaining match, back and forth. And we talked about North Carolina Courage before, just their general style of play, how they just build out, play with the ball. It was enlightening to see.
Emily Fox and Lucy, great combo, right?
I mean, they got a good team all around, man. Their midfield really impressed me. Because basically they ran like a double pivot.
O'Sullivan is fantastic. I mean, I think everybody, and I mean everybody, like downplayed Ireland's success this past camp. Like O'Sullivan is a great player.
O'Sullivan is so good. She was in Sav DeMello's shit. Like I've never seen anything like it. Like Sav really couldn't get going, bro. Because Denise O'Sullivan was there every step of the way. Like I think it seems like North Carolina coach just really sicked the dog on her and said, you know what, go get her. And then also in possession, just nice as hell. So that this midfield of Meredith Speck, Denise O'Sullivan, and Narumi Miura, the Japanese 10, it was just fun to watch them work. To watch Miura try to like basically get away from Jalen Howe. And like find pockets to receive the ball. Like it was just one of those things where like when you go to matches, you go to matches to like see stuff that you can't see on TV, I guess. And just watching that midfield work and especially watching how Mira really had to work to find spaces to receive the ball. It just kind of enlightened me a little bit just to how soccer works, I guess. I don't know.
Boots on the ground, though. I love it.
I was feeling very woo-woo and metaphysical at this match, I guess. That's the type of thing that soccer can bring out of you. But yes, boots on the ground. Racing lost 1-2, even though we out-XG'd North Carolina significantly by like at least a goal. But anyway.
Did you have any thoughts on Casey Murphy?
Casey Murphy was very good. she had a couple extremely nice saves. But because, as I mentioned, you know, the XG was much higher for Racing. And so Casey played very well.
Goalie number one.
Matter of fact, she kind of got lucky on this, but there was a shot, like a first-time shot from Ari Borges, like right in front of Casey Murphy. And Ari kind of shot it into her midsection, but the fact that Casey still caught that ball and like didn't spill it. I mean, I'm talking about this shot was from point blank range. And you know, Casey looked very good. Casey looked very good. And I do have to say, you know, we talked about Jalen Howell. I'm still on that train. If, you know, Julie Ertz isn't fit or whatever, she doesn't make it for whatever reason, I feel like Jalen Howell should be the pick. I feel this more strongly every time I watch her, man. She's everywhere. And two or three times a game, she's just getting in somebody's face and just straight ripping them, like taking their cookies, man. Like it's a basketball game. It's incredible to see. Like Dabinia, when we played Kansas City at Kansas City, so that was a game in the league. I think Dabinia's gonna see Jalen Howell in her nightmares. Like I posted some clips of Jay wrecking that midfield from that match, and man, I mean, she put biblical clamps on Dabinia. It was incredible. It was incredible.
You bring up a good point, and I think it's maybe something for when we talk again. If Julie Ertz isn't playing, if she's still off to the sideline, maybe we can do some Sam Coffey, Jalen Howell scouting. We'll see.
Yep. And then also two more points. Also, it was a very nice goal from Caroline in that match. I just wanted to point that out. And she also threw up a little black power fist as a support to Vinicius, and the abuse that he has suffered. Just a very nice. She was able to pick the ball up 1-on-1. Against one of our center backs transition and just did what Caroline does. Just a dynamite player. And my last point and most important point, that this has been a thing that's been talked about on WOSO Twitter for the past few weeks, I guess. I mean, it's an evergreen topic, of course, but it came up because they talked about it on the CBS Galazzo show, I think. But anyway, the idea that Crystal Dunn should play in the midfield, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Chu said it.
Yes, Jimmy Chu said it. And Charlie Davis had the pushback, just, you know, stay at left back. Who is going to play left back at Crystal Dunn's stead if she does move to the midfield? And I'll tell you who. Carson Pickett. Carson Pickett can play damn left back. Carson Pickett is so good, dog.
She really is. She really is.
So good. Like all the elegance that we get in possession from Crystal Dunn, Carson Pickett can do it. Carson Pickett can do it. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't believe it wholeheartedly. She's an excellent player, and so I'm wasting my breath because Vlatko Andonovski is not gonna do it. But I feel like I just need to get that out there because that's been the common refrain from a lot of people. Just there is no left back candidate. If Emily Fox is going to play right back, there is no left back candidate to take that spot. And I would just like to say it is Carson Pickett. And thank you all for bearing with me. That is Boots on the Ground, which is a segment that we like to do here on WOSO Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, especially if we start, people are dropping in the midfield from injury, then I think the rationale for something like that starts to make more sense.
Yeah, so go ahead and put her in there. I'm telling you, man, if Carson gets that shot, we wouldn't lose anything. We wouldn't lose anything. I was gonna caveat it, but no, man. She's that good. She's that good of a left back. Let Crystal Dunn play midfield.
And again, not totally unrealistic. Carson's gotten call ups, especially if somebody gets injured. She's next man up often. So I love it. I've always been a Carson fan.
Our lives are in Vlatko's hands. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. What'd you say?
Very shaky hands.
Yeah. All right.
Untrustworthy.
Thanks.
If I gave Vlatko a handshake, he'd give me the dead fish. That's the type of person I think he is.
Yeah, maybe. All right, that's it. Let me just say, if you'd like to join the Patreon and become a member of that Discord we talked about earlier in the episode and get the Monday reviews every week and, you know, various other things, including full interviews, the link is in the show notes. Join us. $2, $5, or $10 a month. It's not that much money. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you.